In other news, and right here in the United States, this morning we have a new cry for help from U.S. military veterans. Soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, the availability of mental health care services has been in a crisis for them for years. Veterans have experienced reduced access to doctors compared to a decade ago, at the same time as one in three returning combat veterans is believed to be in need of actual clinical help. For those at risk of suicide, and there are believed to be tens of thousands of those, the VA has a suicide hotline.
If you are in emotional distress or suicidal crisis, or are concerned about someone who might be, the Lifeline is here to help. If you are a U.S. military veteran, or if you're calling about a veteran, please press 1 now.
Please hold while we connect your call.
And in our call this morning, a voice answered that music after less than 30 seconds. But a class action lawsuit that opens today in California charges that this hotline and other VA suicide prevention services are woefully inadequate. It's a system-wide breakdown, according to the plaintiffs. 18 veterans kill themselves each day, according to court documents. Patricia Cohen of the New York Times, you're covering this lawsuit. Do the veterans have a real case here, and how can they change the system in a civil suit in court?
Hi. Well, the suit comes after decades of unhappiness with the way that the VA has been responding to veterans who are disabled, both physically and mentally. And of course, this backlog has increased terribly since returning soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan have come on and added to the system. So it's been a long time in coming. One thing, though, that the VA has been responding to over in regard to recent months, though, is by putting up the suicide hotline as a way of at least presenting some help immediately for people in crisis.
What's been the response to the hotline?
Well, it's only been up and running since August, so it's very new. They've had, in that first 8 months, more than 32,000 calls and what they call 720 rescues. And what I mean by rescues is at the time that somebody calls and is immediately talking about suicide, from being on a bridge to having a bottle of pills in their hands, they will get in contact with local emergency responders and send somebody out and have brought those people safely into a hospital.
Is there any sense of how many times their interventions have been successful or not? I mean, I do notice from court papers that of those 18 veterans who kill themselves each day, a quarter of them are actually under the care of the VA when they kill themselves.
Well, it's very difficult to say. I mean, those numbers are very hard to pinpoint exactly between who is calling and who is getting help in the system. I mean, clearly most veterans actually aren't even under the care of the VA. This is meant to be an emergency hotline, so obviously there's limits of what they can do. The calls are anonymous, but for the people who do call and agree to get help, there is an attempt at least to make sure these people don't fall through the cracks and so that the VA follows through on giving service.
And it's incredibly tragic here. I mean, we were discussing this morning the tone of the hotline. I mean, to even have recorded music there. I mean, I know you can't get somebody on the line immediately. Just, I mean, I'm thinking of you know, some guy with a gun in his mouth and listening to that music and a recorded
right,
message.
But,
I mean, it's just frightening. I mean, I got to be fair to the VA, but still, ooh.
Right. Although, just to explain something about the hotline, what this is that is a national suicide prevention hotline that deals with everyone in the country.
Right.
So the idea is when that hotline comes on, veterans can get routed specifically to help that is geared towards veterans. And a lot of the people who are responding on the hotline are veterans or have worked for the VA for a long time.
Well, let's focus back on this case here for a second. We don't have a whole lot of time here. What can the court do? Can it enjoin the Veterans Administration? Is it some sort of force services? How does that work?
Well, that's the big question that's going to be decided in the court, because what the VA is saying is that the court doesn't have any right to tell the VA exactly how to do its services. So that's one of the points on which the VA is going to be challenging the lawsuit.
And this is a class action suit. So how many veterans are part of the plaintiffs?
Well, you know, there's two veterans groups that are basically bringing the lawsuit, and they are bringing it on behalf of all veterans. So that's every veteran, every former soldier who has served. I think there's one alive since World War I, and so it's everybody in the U.S.
Well, Patricia Cohen of the New York Times, thank you very much. As we said, the case is going to court today in California, and there'll be a story in the New York Times this week about that case. Thank you very much.
No, it is really disturbing. I've been covering this story for years. There were so many people early on after the Afghan War who were very concerned about the amount of money that was being spent on the mental health of troops,
yeah.
And obviously even that much more serious now. So we will continue to follow that story.